Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. I begin this broadcast with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there's nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. We send him our highest exhortation, our beloved Prophet Muhammad. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. All praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We ask him for help. We ask Allah for help. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. The peace that only Almighty God can give. I am Kareem Hamid, the radio station manager for American Muslim 360. And I received a communication, I'm seeing it on the studio board, from the Blog Talk system. And the communication reads, we are aware of issues connecting to and running live broadcasts. Our engineers are hardworking on a resolution. So praise be to Allah. I just took a chance and see if I could call into the host seat. I'm going to open up the mic of a friend of mine to see if I'm being heard. Pardon me. Air code 914-434, Muhammad Sharif. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sir Kareem. Loud and clear.
Oh, alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Thank you, my brother. I'm going
You're
to see
welcome.
If I can read. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. We are experiencing a lot of technical difficulties at this time, and we're grateful that everyone have patience with us as Blog Talk as they work through these technical issues and problems. Let me see. I see someone else here. I'm not sure if this is Talita Akbar Abdul Aziz. I don't think so. I don't think she's supposed to be hosting this. Let me open up that mic and see if this is her. Maybe she couldn't get in. Assalamu alaikum, 727-667.
Assalamu alaikum. This is a brother in St. Petersburg, Florida, and you're coming through on this connection loud and clear, but yes, you have been having difficulty. So I'm hearing you loud and clear. Thank you.
Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. I had not prepared to broadcast this evening. So if there's anything that you would like to discuss, the floor is open to you, and we can let's talk about it. There's a lot happening in the world at this time. And I find it beneficial that we use straight talk, and let's talk about it. Praise be to Allah. You know, we are witnessing the tragedy that's occurring in occupied Palestine. We are watching an attempt to eliminate a whole people. The world is watching. You know, my question to the world is, why do we have a United Nations with no enforcement? I mean, they have passed resolutions, but there's a permanent member on the United Nations Security Council. And there are members on that council that have permanent membership. And the United States is one of those members. And I heard from, I think it was Imam Fahim or either Imam Yahya Abdullah, that even if the United Nations vote and they agree to a resolution on any issue, members of the Security Council can overrule that vote. And the United States is a permanent member. The United States, they have a record of vetoing resolutions that has been agreed upon by the United Nations. The idea to for the ceasefire, the resolution was offered on that, and it was vetoed. Regardless of what the United Nations says, the veto power of the permanent members of the Security Council, they don't have to follow that. They don't. But it does make common sense to me that if the world as a whole, those that represent countries, the United Nations, that if they carry the majority vote, then that should be what is followed. You're talking about democracy, you know, democracy. The United States is for spreading democracy around the world. Well, what I just described to you concerning the United Nations and its relationship with this country that claims to be a bastion of democracy, that system is not democratic. If the majority reaches a decision and it is well thought out, then that should be the prevailing actions taken. So we're wondering, how come the world isn't moving? Well, the world wants to. But we have members on the Security Council that have permanent veto, and they voted not to call a ceasefire. You know, that is so inhumane to me. That is so barbaric. But anyway, I'll let that lie right there. If there's anyone that would like to make a statement concerning what I've said thus far, your mic is open. Also, let me share with you, I read a report. I saw a report coming from out of the Democratic Republic of Congo, one of the largest countries on the continent of Africa. There is a humanitarian crisis that's being carried out in Democratic Congo. There is a, how can I put it? A civil war, that's all I could call it. A civil war going on in the Democratic Republic of Congo. There is a group called Rebels. They want to overthrow the government. And they are supported by a tribal group called Houthis. And because of the war, the people are fleeing. It's been deemed as the largest displacement of people that the world has ever known. But you won't hear this on the mainstream media. Well, it's occurring on the continent of Africa. It's the information that reached me you know, you ask, well, why are they fighting each other? Why are they at war? Come to find out, there's large deposits of oil and gold in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And so now there are groups vying for who will control that country and those mineral resources. So there's a lot of things that's going on the earth that to me is not pleasing, but Allah is in charge of everything at all times, and nothing can happen unless Allah wills it to happen or Allah allows it to happen. So that's why it's happening. Allah allowed it, or it was Allah's will. Outside of that, there is nothing happening. So, also, let me say this. Based upon the world witnessing how the Palestinians are being slaughtered, I've seen reports where people have said, let me take a look at this religion, Islam. What made them so resilient? I mean, my God, it's been 75 years. They have not given up fighting for their homeland and their heritage. So that becomes amazing to some people. And what that does is it puts a curiosity in their mind to want to know, what is this Islam? I've seen interviews where non-Muslims have read, out of curiosity, they got a Quran and started reading it. And they were so impressed by the truthfulness and the clarity of the Quran that many are converting. We know Allah makes Muslims, not us. Allah leads humanity to the path. So the numbers of our ranks are swelling concerning Muslims. The more you do to us, the ungodly, the greater our ranks grow. And also, greater the cohesiveness that people of other faiths are drawn to us, because they are witnessing this gross injustice, and that strengthens and tightens the interfaith movement, because we are human beings, because we are human, and we're witnessing a human tragedy. I don't know what the outcome will be, but I'm only expressing a little bit of what is happening coming out of this horrific slaughter. The whole world, it looks like the whole world are in the streets in support of the Palestinians And what most people don't realize that there are Christian Palestinians.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't all Muslim. There are Christian Christian citizens of Palestine that have been put out of their homes, churches bombed. And I'm aware of that during the Crusades, the great general Saladin was able to conquer Jerusalem. And that whole area became majority Muslim. And we know in Jerusalem, there are holy sites there. The Dome of the Rock, the Wailing Wall, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, one of the most prized, I'd say, relics or places in Christendom. Do you know that the Christians gave the Muslims, I can't remember this family's name, but they gave them the key to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre 800 years ago. The Muslims had been caretaker of that church, and that key is 800 years old, and it is still held by the family of Muslims that it was entrusted with. So this fabrication, the war of religions, is something that comes straight out of the bowels of Satan. If the truth be told, we're supposed to be all one people, and our connection with each other is that we are human. That we are human, and we are created by a creator that has blessed us with disciplines to live by. So anyway, I'll stop right there. I know I can't play a public service announcement.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to
6. Pardon me. All right, the PSAs are working. So we ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to Newark, New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Okay, I hope everyone that can go will go to a time to be grateful, inshallah. As I stated, my beloved sister Khalida Akbar is not with us, so I am attempting to have an open mic whereby you can express what is on your mind and let's talk about it. Praise be to Allah. I've expressed some concerns about what is happening in occupied Palestine and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Also, not only those two areas, in China, the Muslims are being rounded up and placed in concentration camps. Mm-hmm. But you won't hear that on the mainstream news. I have an article here concerning that. I caught myself straightening up my little office. And when you straighten up, then you can't find that which you could readily put your hand on when it was an organized clutter. Let me see here. Bear with me a moment here. Let me see. Okay. Well, I got so many notes and tablets and notebooks. What did I do with that? Okay, here it is here. Praise be to Allah. Yes, here it is here. Sitting right up under my nose. I ain't going to say if it was a snake, it would have bit me. Okay. Concerning the condition, you know, the Muslim, the Ummah, is to be as a solid structure, as one body. And the Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, has said to us, when any member of the body is injured or hurt, just one member is hurt, the whole body feels it. The whole body feels it. So I'm quite sure you, along with me, feel the pain of what is happening with human beings in occupied Palestine. But it is not just, there are some things going on that's not on the front burner. That's not in mainstream media. We must be aware of the condition of Muslims on this earth. Everyone, but I'm saying this here, as a Muslim first, I must be concerned about a Muslim. And everyone else, I'm not negating my obligation to be a servant to Almighty God, Allah, and humanity. But we have been described as the best community. Allah describes us as that, the best community, brought out for the good of all people. So I want to share with you some of the things that are happening with Muslims as by way of persecution and oppression. This is from a publication called Sound Vision, Human Rights Watch. Human Rights Watch. And its heading is, China must release millions of Uyghur Muslims from the concentration camps. We don't hear about that, do we? Not a mumbling word. So praise be to Allah. we receive information that you won't get from mainstream media. So let me share this article with you from this publication, Sound Vision, the Human Rights Watch. Okay. Let me share these statements with you first. Right now, more than 2 million Uyghur Muslims are in Chinese concentration camps. Men are taken to the camps, their children to orphanages, and women are forced to live, and women are forced to live with Chinese men. That may sound unbelievable, but it's true. The article reads, the United States government describes it as the largest mass incorporation of a minority population in the world today. This is China's attack on the Uyghur society with the long-term aim of eradicating it, all under the guise of fighting extremism. There's a province in China, in East Turkestan, in Northwest China, a territory half the size of India. China has been targeting Muslims through a campaign of torture, surveillance, crackdowns on basic religious practice, and engaging in a systematic campaign of forced brainwashing. This has intensified since the country's current president, Jinping, a hardline nationalist, came to power in the year 2013. The United States State Department estimates that more than 2 million Uyghurs, Muslims, are in concentration camps, and the Chinese state media reports that more than 1 million communists are sent to stay and live in Uyghur homes as guests. Now, let me explain what guests is. They are in the home of people that are occupying the home. Matter of fact, they are overseers. They are spies. One million Chinese forced in Uyghur homes in Xinjiang. I guess that's a city. Unwanted Chinese guests monitor Uyghur families 24/7. Muslim families across Xinjiang are now literally eating and sleeping under the watchful eye of the state in their own homes. Chinese government officials are regularly imposing themselves on families in Xinjiang, in parentheses, in so-called homestays. According to a scholar studied this practice and wrote on foreignpolicy.com, almost 1 million, According to a scholar who studied this practice and wrote on foreignpolicy.com, almost 1 million Chinese communists are involved in this forced guest or relative exercise. They also take part in determining which Uyghurs should be sent to the concentration camps. And here's part of an article, With praying all but forbidden for the Uyghur, some Uyghurs, not this term Uyghur is the name of a province, but these are Muslim. They're called Uyghur Muslim in China. With praying all but forbidden for the Uyghur, some Uyghurs have found ways that the authorities won't notice, such as praying covertly while sitting casually in a chair, praying hidden behind a shrub, simply at home, or maybe in a bathroom if a forced Chinese guest is present at home. Uyghurs are also not allowed to fast in the month of Ramadan. The question is asked, who are the Uyghurs? The Uyghurs, also spelled as U-Y-G-H-U-R, are a Turkic ethnic group who have now become a minority in their own homeland. More than 12 million Uyghurs, mostly Muslims, and culturally close to other Central Asian nations, live in East Turkestan, which was the name of their country before China occupied it. Now China calls it Xinjiang, Uyghur Autonomous Region. They renamed the area Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. Xinjiang literally means a new colony. East Turkestan spans over 1.6 million square kilometers and is the largest administrative division in China. The Xinjiang borders the countries of Mongolia, Russia, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India. The ancient Silk Road trade route linking China and the Middle East passed through Xinjiang, a legacy that can be seen in the traditional open-air bazaars of its oasis city, Khotan and Kashgar. Xinjiang has the highest concentration. Here it comes, y'all. Here, follow the money. It always leads you to the coffin. It is written here, Xinjiang has the highest concentration of fossil fuel reserves of any region in China. It's the resources under the earth. The resources under the earth. God forbid you live in a country and all of a sudden oil and gold is discovered in your country. You are getting ready to lose your country. Because most of the world community will come at your country to extract those resources. If they can't do it diplomatically, then they'll do it militarily and set up a puppet government and extract the vital resource of your country. That has been the pattern of world behavior. Okay. Xinjiang has the highest concentration of fossil fuel reserves of any region in China. I'll stop right here because we don't hear about this. It's not even mentioned. Matter of fact, this was going on when the Worldwide Olympics was held in China. This was going on. And the world still voted to hold the Olympics in China. Where is our humanity? Where is the call for human, for concern for human beings? Where is the moral standard that we ought to live by? I'm not talking about religion here. I'm not just being a human being. The human rights of the Uyghur Muslims in China has been ignored and is still being ignored. So as we look at tragedies around the world, we can't pick and choose which one needs our attention. Right now on the front page, it seems to be Palestine. Not because we are Muslim, because that is a human tragedy happening. Basically, if the revolution will not be televised, but the slaughter of innocents is being televised, beamed around the world. And I believe that our leaders and those with them will be judged, Allah will judge them based upon their behavior and their response to these human tragedies. They're under judgment, not the people. The majority of people is on the right side of history. So I want to pause now and take another public service announcement. Let me open up these mics because this is open night, open mic night. If there's anyone that would like to share your concerns, whatever you want to talk about, I've opened your mic. I need to hear something. Okay. We shall pause now for some important public service announcements. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. This is the broadcast of Narrative Aspirations, normally hosted by Khalida Abdul-Azim, but she's not present today. And we have had problems with blog talk. I was surprised that I was even able to enter the host queue. And there's a message board here on the studio from the Bar Talk Center. It says, we are aware of issues connecting to and running live broadcasts. Our engineers are hardworking on a resolution. Praise be to Allah. So we pause at this time for public service announcement. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Khadija Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you, Tanya.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you to Allah. And we are back. That's an excellent broadcast that I hope we all tune in to. CARE on the Air. Brother Edward Ahmed Mitchell should have some very vital information for us concerning the Council on America and Islamic Relations. Praise be to Allah at this time. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So I'm sharing with you the condition of Muslims in China. They're commonly called wiggers. Here's an account from Abdul Salam. What did Abdul Salam's feet in the concentration camp? I'm sharing with you the story of Abdul Salam Mehmet. He's a former business owner in his 40s who was sent to a political re-education camp. In other words, a concentration camp. For 70 days, he now lives in exile in Turkey. I'm going to give you his account of his experience, spending 70 days in the concentration camp in China. He says, since I'm innocent, I thought I would turn myself in. I had nothing to hide, and I didn't have anywhere to go. They took me to the National Security Bureau for interrogation. As soon as we got there, they took me somewhere to draw blood. Afterwards, they shaved my head and ripped my clothes off because we couldn't wear any garments with buttons. And I was left with only my long underpants and a shirt. We entered the gate of the detention center, which was surrounded by cameras. The guards were well armed. We were in a small 3x3 meter room with a thin mat on the floor. 15 of us slept on it. 15 people. And if we lay on our backs, we wouldn't fit. 15 people with manacles on our feet. 2 people using 1 blanket and lying back to back. There wasn't a toilet there, just a plastic bucket that we brought. Every 24 to 48 hours, it would be dumped out. 2 people would use a blanket to cover us when we used the bucket in the cell. In other words, they held the blanket up in front of one that was using the refuse bucket for that person's privacy. Okay.
Okay.
But as I stated, there was no toilet there, just a plastic bucket that we brought. Every 24 to 48 hours, it would be dumped out. Two people would use a blanket to cover us when we used the bucket in the cell. After we finished, the smell would take over the entire room. Two people were manacled to one another by their ankles. The other person, whose leg was second to mine, had to stand next to me while I did my business. There was an old hard chair which we had to sit in all day long while a comrade monitored. I took my brother from Florida. He's moving around. Okay. That gets rid of the background noise. Okay. There was an old chair, an old hard chair, which we had to sit in all day while a camera monitored us. Our buttocks hurt, and we felt a stinging pain from sitting still. But if we ever moved, even slightly, they would yell and shout at us over the loudspeaker, using very offensive, nasty words, and even sometimes come in and immediately begin beating us. We had to suffer through all of this while we were only at the investigation stage. This was the situation before any of us were formally charged. Okay. Yeah, okay. While 10 to 30% of all Uyghurs are now in concentration camps, those outside are also in extremely bad conditions. Many are surviving by declaring themselves as communists who do not care for their faith. Some have joined Chinese police and concentration camp guards to survive. Others use bribery, obedience, and appeasement to keep out from the concentration camps. Several thousands have run away from China to other countries. This is a glimpse of life in Zhaojiang. Outside of the camps, he's sharing what life is outside of the concentration camps for the Muslims. In the subject of religion, you can't even say salam. Number two, you cannot fast in Ramadan. Number one, you cannot fast in Ramadan or say salam to anyone. Number two, facial recognition technology spies on masjid that are still open. Number three, Uyghurs cannot have Islamic weddings at home. Chinese reward up to $7,500 for whistleblowers to report it. Uyghur language and education and e-festivals are banned. Now, you know, as Muslims, we have a distinct diet. This is what is happening outside of the concentration camps. When it comes to food, halal is banned in Uyghur areas. Halal is the special way that we slaughter and prepare our meat for consumption. But it says here, halal is banned in Uyghur areas. concerning food. Number two, one must explain why he or she is not eating pork. Number three, Wigger-owned shops must sell alcohol and pork. They're forcing them. Concerning the so-called family guest or the family spy, Wigger households are divided into groups of 10 to spy on each other. Each communist are forced into 1 million Wigger Muslim homes as, in quotes, guests. Their livelihood is forced labor. Forced labor is mandatory for Uyghurs. Chinese authorities confiscate farmland and property of Uyghurs and redistribute it to Chinese communists. I see we have someone that raised their hand. I'm going to answer this call. I believe this is Brother Muhammad. 706-627, assalamu alaikum. Please state your name, Brother Muhammad, and where you're calling from.
Well, alaikum assalam. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And I pray Allah so much that the efforts being made on this broadcast and other efforts to let the world know that there's only one creator and Prophet Muhammad is his messenger. Because it make you wonder, as I was listening to you, I said, I wonder what type of Muslim who we are talking about and what has happened to them shows us how blessed we are that Allah is protecting us. And I'm more than sure that we couldn't call ourselves a Muslim and let anybody do that to us. But we know it can happen if we don't complete this favor upon us by Allah called Al-Islam. If we don't bring this reality of this community of believers, regardless of what they believe, because if the real believers stand up and establish and follow the guidance of this Quran, even those who believe in a dog or a tree is going to gyrate toward the believers because they already have faith. They just need a model, example of the people who they are willing to die for because they know they die for them, who are willing to cook for them because they know they will cook for them, they're willing to farm for them because they know they will farm for them. And they will come to what Allah has already told us. We don't have to coerce nobody. We don't have to force nobody. If we establish this favor of Al-Islam upon ourselves and our own souls first, our loved ones will see it and want to use the same discipline, the same faith, the same food, the same, and that's how it grows into a community of believers. Because everyone is saving their own soul first so that they always have a mirror that Allah protects those who serve him, worship him, etc. And as you were talking about those different Muslims, and we see those different Muslims all around the world, the Palestinians, the Muslims in every country on this earth, is going through something that we all are aware could happen to us, but we know, inshallah, Allah's protection is on us right now, giving us the time to come to Shura, to come together and follow the leadership that might be the final leadership in a lot of our reality, because Imam Muhammad is gone and soon. And what I mean by say gone, we already know. I'm not talking about death. And where he's in the grave, maybe have a better view of what we're going through than we do. And we know that, inshallah, Allah is making it very comfortable for him in what we call the grave. And he is making du'a for us from the grave, like we're making du'a for him in the grave. But he said, my leader is Prophet Muhammad. My life is the Quran. And we see all around the world the type of Muslim we can be or will be if they break our faith in what Allah has given us. Like we have seen, Shaitan has broke the faith of many of those who said, La ilaha illallah, a little over 1400 some years ago. So our wisdom tells us that we have to hurry up and do something before we become that weak and compromising in our faith and our understanding, to where Shaitan can come and negotiate with us through other human beings and through food and through this and through that, and make us forget all about this wonderful opportunity that we have for the whole world if we just save our own soul first. Those people can't help themselves no more. We are obligated by Allah to free the oppressed, to free the hostages. And he said, do it in peace. He said, don't do it as the aggressor. Do it in peace. Because he's still trying to tell us that if you come together and live this Quran, I will protect you like I'm protecting the Quran. But I'm not going to coerce you to come to this.
Yeah, Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We have another caller on the line, and I want to give them a chance to share. Thank you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. In regards to what you are, what you share, we as Muslims are living in the most powerful nation at this time on earth. And we are inside. And we are, how can I say, we are entering into the very fabric of the United States of America. Many Muslims of different ethnicities are holding positions of political positions, or being elected into office. Some are the heads of large corporations inside of this country. And what you were saying is so true. If we come together as a community, using the leverage that the United States has gained around the world, if their immoral behavior have not decreased that leverage, then we, the more, how can I put it, the more influence, praise be to Allah, the more influence we have in the United States of America, the more influence that we have, then, inshallah,
Brother Kareem,
we can
let me say this over here.
Of this,
if you let me say this,
inshallah,
this is really important.
Well, now,
he will become
Muhammad.
I'll let you speak.
I never said a word. Let me comment here. We've got someone else on the line. Just hold on.
Yes, sir.
I'll bring you right back after I answer this raised hand. I feel an obligation to do that.
Yes,
Erica, 347-751. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Narrative Aspirations. This is an open mic night that we are having here on Narrative Aspirations. Our beloved host, Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz, could not make it in to a broadcast, so I entered the host queue in her stead and have presented that, inshallah, whatever on your mind, let's talk about it. Okay, Erica, 347-751, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, greetings to you, Imam Kareem. This is Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam, and I just happened to enter into the call. I was planning and interested in listening to Sister Kalita's program tonight, and I just finished watching a documentary on YouTube about the ancient evolution and development of Russia and its plans and mission for world dominance. So I was very shocked, number one, to hear your voice. I was expecting her. But alhamdulillah, I realized something might have altered or changed the plan. And I understood you to be reading something about the narrative of the please name the tribe again.
They are called Uyghurs because they're from a region that
right.
is known. Yes, they are Muslims. They are called Uyghur Muslims.
Okay, I was having trouble hearing that the word and understanding it. Yeah, they've been in the news a lot lately. So what are you reading from, please?
I received this report, well, a few years ago. I'm reading from literature issued by Sound Vision, Strategic Communication. Sound Vision.
Oh, hi.
Excuse me?
Go ahead. No, I was going to ask, what year is that, please?
I don't see a year on here, but we don't have to worry. It's still going on. This is not the first time that I have shared this information over the airways of American Muslim 360, and I found it appropriate to once again share the information about the Uyghur Muslims in China being forced into concentration camps. They are trying to strip them of any religious identity. You cannot give the greetings. You know how we say assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. That is outlawed.
It is outlawed. Yes. So let me continue. I don't want to take more time, and I don't want to prolong. I know the listeners who had tuned in earlier than me were probably quite interested in following that narrative. So, mashallah, one of the things that I would recommend and maybe invite some of our readers to partake is on the New Africa Radio, which can be Googled. They will find a huge listing of Imam W.D. Muhammad's articles that were featured in the Muslim Journal and over time in the earlier publications going back to 1975, but in the subject matter you're covering now and the events that are assaulting the world, if they go to the article of Imam W.D. Muhammad, one we were reading today, April 14th, 1995, and it speaks distinctly of the insight in tafsir Imam Muhammad was sharing about the disturbances in the Middle East, the problems that are happening now, with an earlier reference to what began these issues and the state of mind in relationship to the guidance as a new people, as new Muslims, that the African-American Muslim population here has been given is very interesting. So I just wanted to share that. April 14th, 1995, articles of Imam Muhammad and many more. But during that time, he paid particular attention to giving us certain cautionings and warnings. Who knew that this would evolve at this time, currently, the disasters that we're experiencing? And it does give us some insight on that. The last thing I wanted to share is that we do have to remember that two things are real. They're a part of Allah's reality, and the situations, ideas, concepts that he has sanctioned for the believers. He said, never did he give Shaitan or Iblis any power over the human being. Rather, he gave human being power over evil, and that's to be constructed by the good and the advancement of good that comes from our nature and our persistence. He said, be patient and persistent in advancing the good of society. And in these articles, he goes over in very simple detail, very reinforcing, beautiful detail about the things that we can frame our minds in and our behaviors in to combat situations that occur like this. And unfortunately, the leaders and what they have suffered from. We are advanced. I agree with Brother Muhammad in that. But we are advanced because of the situation Allah chose for us to undergo the trials, tribulations, and challenges so that he could purify us and prepare us for the victory. And that's a victory to be shared with humanity. So I'm going to stop right there. Very, very interesting, very dramatic. That's what caught my attention when I changed to this dot. May Allah bless us with the light of understanding and wisdom. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your sharing. Alhamdulillah. Press 1 on your phone. That'll take you out of the queue. Press 1 on your phone if you want to share once more. Inshallah. Thank you, Mahasim. So I'm sharing with you a situation from out of China concerning the treatment of Muslims, specifically those that they have labeled Uyghur Muslims. You know, as I stated earlier, we reside in the most powerful nation on earth, and we live here. This is our home, and we are entering into the very fabric of America. We share many of the laudable values as expressed concerning this country. And we are in the fabric of America now. And if we establish communities, community means be involved in every facet of your life. Every facet of your life from an Islamic perspective, using the Quran and the life example of our Prophet Muhammad, we are into insurance, law enforcement. We are definitely in the political structure of this country. And we have a special interest. We have a special interest to promote the best, for this country and everything connected with it. The Muslim chooses excellence. Excellence is prescribed for the believer. So as we, but the Imam said, you will not have no influence. You will not have no influence if you have not established institution building. Then you are recognized. Then you're somebody to where you have some influence. You are vested. You are, praise be to God, you are a vested member. You have made an investment in your life in this country. And as that investment grows, the more influence that we will have in this country. And who knows? All of this is just conjecture, but who knows? We may have enough influence to shape the domestic and foreign policies of this country in our effort to remake the world. So we are strategically placed. We are strategically placed in the most powerful nation on earth. And I think there's more to come behind that strategic positioning. Praise be to Allah. We want to promote the best of the United States, not the worst. So let me move forward in sharing with you the condition of so-called Uyghur Muslims in China that have been forced into concentration camps.
Are you still coming back to me?
Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, my brother.
Hey. No, we appreciate what you're doing. And we appreciate what you're doing. Again, as you were saying, you going down the same vein that you were talking about, and what I was saying had to go to another caller, it's very important to understand that what's in us, the Quran is in our heart, and it's still, inshallah, Allah, pure. We haven't let the stain of the whisper of the shaitan and of our own souls in those in our environment yet put a stain on our heart. But we're going toward that way. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we're going toward the wrong light, the wrong fire. We're being attracted to it. Quran wants us to deviate and go to the core of the world, of the earth, of the material reality, instead of going to the core of the Quran that's in our heart. And you're right. We're in America for a reason. If we establish Deen al-Islam depending solely upon what Allah has given us, like you said before, he's given us doctors, he's given us lawyers, he's given us rights in the Constitution of the United States of America, while we still have those rights because of our sincerity, Allah will not let anything touch our efforts to establish Deen al-Islam here in America. And we come the heart of America. That's why the forefathers, like Jefferson and others, who in their own cold talk was telling us, God bless America because the truth is here. And those who are responsible for bringing America back to the balance of the intention of our good heart, but we know that we are corrupted. But we know that if we continue to obey Allah according to our understanding and our faith, because they still fear the shaitan just like a lot of people fear him, and they gave him power. But the same scheme is still being worked on us every day, every day. We are being told to go this way, that way, knowing that Allah says that Hadi Qudsi, that on the day of judgment, if you come with any way of the life that you have led and it don't be al-Islam, you will taste this fire. Now, we can come and become a part of the heart, but we cannot, because we are in America, run for office, run for authority, run for running people's affairs, running who eats and running for office that determines who eats and sleeps. That is only a deviation, and we'll learn about that down the road. You know, we
have to be solely
from what Allah has given. Allah has given us so much right here in America. Judge, just like you said. But these things are spin, peace, ability, law.
I must move forward, Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. So I'm sharing with you, the Prophet Muhammad has said that the Ummah is like one body. If you prick the finger of your hand, now, as a matter of fact, I think he used his hand as a symbol. He made a fist with his hand. It's one force, one unit. And if any member of that fist is hurt or injured, the whole hand feels it. So we are presenting these things so that we know the challenges that we have and the condition of the Ummah, the condition of the believer. That's why I'm sharing this, that we need to know these things and motivate us to become more organized, motivate us to become more agreeable with each other as we establish community life. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I want to share with you also that how they use forced labor on the Uyghur Muslims. Forced labor is mandatory for Uyghurs. Number two, Chinese authorities confiscate farmland and property of Uyghurs and redistribute it to Chinese communists. Concerning the use of the cell phone, Uyghur Muslims must install a spyware application on their devices. It is called the Web Cleaning Guard that permits the government to monitor their activity. Another part of the cell phone use, if one installs the spyware but stops using the mobile phone, it is a sure way to be sent to the concentration camp. Restrictions on travel. I want to share with you the restrictions on travel. A person would be forced to stop and have his ID checked 7 times while traveling just 2 to 3 kilometers on his motorcycle. Restrictions on travel. There are 90,000 new security posts. Those are cameras and manned posts. There are 90,000 new security posts, 500 yards apart in cities. Each Uyghur car must be fitted with tracking devices, and passports of Uyghurs are confiscated. Praise be to Allah. Now I want to share with you the population of Muslims in China. China is the only country in the world other than Burma where the Muslim population is declining. In 1955, at the Bandung Conference in Indonesia, the Chinese Premier Zhou Enlai stated that there are 50 million Muslims in China. Now they say there are only 21 million Muslims in China. Muslims of Chinese ethnicity are called Hui. They face growing restrictions in practicing their faith. Thousands of Hui, Chinese Muslims, protested the attempted demolition of their towering Grand Mosque. There's a picture in this publication of it. It is beautiful. Thousands of Muslims protested the attempted demolition of their towering Grand Mosque in the town of Weishaupt early in August 2018. In December 2018, three mosques in Yunnan were demolished. Other Muslims are ethnic Turkic, like Uyghurs, Kazakhs, Uzbeks, and Kyrgyz, etc. Uyghurs are the largest ethnic Muslim group, numbering 12 million. You would wonder, why is there such a big aversion, praise be to Allah, an aversion from government concerning the Muslim Ummah and al-Islam? Because the government heads, they want the sole responsibility and the sole task of governing the people, And we know al-Islam is not just a religion, as we call it. It is a way of life. And being a way of life, it is a system of government, but a system of government aimed at bringing about the best conditions and the best circumstances and situations for human beings. Allah in the Quran forbids oppression. He forbids oppression. And anyone who seeks to utilize oppression, that will be denied them. So they see al-Islam as a challenge to their government. That's the other way to put it. Their government. We come with our own industry, our own foods, our own way of eating, our own banking system. No riba, no interest. So that is part of the reason why some governments push back, because they want to govern unimpeded and do whatever they feel that they want to do to their citizenry and population. It is the Muslims that came and entered Spain and rescued the Jews from terrible Christian persecution. They rescued them. And not only that, it was Christians that were glad. They welcomed the Muslims to come and get these people off of our necks, off of our back. For al-Islam, it ushered in individual government based upon the word of Almighty God, and as a consequence of that, Spain grew. Spain became enlightened. Not only Spain, Europe, but everywhere al-Islam went, it brought advantages to the people. Wherever the Quran goes, it brings enlightenment and a better condition for we, the people. So, okay, let me share with you, hold on, please. Yeah, praise be to Allah, okay. Praise be to Allah. Now, in this, article from Sound Vision. They address the American public. And their statement in this, according to this article, is this. We as Americans cherish and uphold freedom of religion. This God-given right is enshrined in our Constitution. We must retain our role as a nation that leads in democratic values, even as we watch authoritarianism seek to sweep them away worldwide. We must speak up for freedom, liberty, and justice for the Uyghurs of China. They have some phone numbers here to reach your congressman and make your feelings known. Yeah. There's a, yes. And ask Congress to pass the S.178 and H.R.647. The passage of this bill, it has 17 senators and 13 congresspersons co-sponsoring it. If your congressperson and senators are not involved, please call them. Check congress.gov for more details. Ask that the Uyghurs be treated like Tibetans. Unlike the Tibetans, Uyghurs do not benefit from a well-defined U.S. policy supporting their political rights, autonomy, and identity. Praise be to Allah. There are several phone numbers here to write and call the Chinese embassy. So we need us to activate ourselves, express ourselves, reach those that represent us with these concerns. Praise be to Allah. April the 6th, the year was 2019. There was a march on Washington for Uyghurs. It is the day for the worldwide demonstrations against Chinese oppression. So we are looking forward to, inshallah, this coming April the 6th, to observe that day as a demonstration against Chinese oppression. Praise be to Allah. The Uyghurs asked the United States to open a consulate in the East Turkestan regional capital of Urumqi that will permit a closer monitoring of human rights conditions in the region. They asked the United States to use the Global Magnitsky Act to take action against the Chinese officials complicit in human rights violations. They asked the United States to call on China to immediately release all internees, all interned people in the concentration camps. And they asked the government of the United States of America to establish a special coordinator for Uyghur Muslim affairs. Praise be to Allah. So that is sharing what was on my mind from our state as Muslims on this earth and the huge responsibility that we share as believing people. I want to now share with you from another publication from Sound Fishing. And it is entitled Understanding the Muslim World, Struggle for Freedom, Democracy, and Islam. The author is Abdul Malik Mujahid. Imam Abdul Malik Mujahid is the founder and president of Sound Vision. He also serves as the chair of the Parliament of the World's Religion and a Burma Task Force of the United States of America. Imam Mujahid was selected 6 times as one of the 500 most influential Muslims in the world. Let me reference our beloved Imam Waqif Uddin Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. He was given a seat on the council of the Parliament of World Religions. He shared that with us. They invited him, and he accepted there in the occasion. Praise be to Allah. I want to share with you now democracy in the Islamic world. Democracy in countries that we say, oh, well, yeah, they're Muslim. They're Muslim. We need to know the reality of what is happening around the globe, around the world. We're not just local Muslims. We're not just statewide Muslims. We're not just city Muslims, municipal. Our interest is from the family all the way to the global community. That is our concern and our responsibility. Now, let me share with you. Oh, boy, we've only got 14 minutes of broadcast time left. But anyway, concerning democracy in Islamic countries, so-called Islamic countries, this brother writes, if the Syrians had accepted Assad's tyranny, there would not have been a Syrian refugee crisis. If the Egyptians had accepted Mubarak, there would have been no need for revolution, elections, and then the dismissal of an elected government by the military. If the Tunisians had accepted corrupt dictators, there would have been no need for an Arab Spring. If Iraqis had resisted the U.S. occupation, there would not have been any need for divide and rule politics, which killed 1 million people. The Afghans had accepted Russian occupation almost 40 years ago. There would not have been 7 million Afghan refugees and 2 million casualties. If the Palestinians had just stopped struggling for freedom, Israel probably would not bomb them. If Kashmiris had accepted the Indian occupation, there would not have been any need for the Indian military to kill 100,000 people. But Syrians wanted freedom. Egyptians wanted democracy. Tunisians wanted a corruption-free government. Palestinians and Kashmiris want right of self-determination. And Afghans want to live the way they choose. That causes problems. That is why foreign armies, dictators, kings, etc., feel forced to fight back against the demands of freedom liberty, peace, and justice. This is where the turmoil begins. They use arms and armies, tear gas, live ammunition against civilians, bombing, drones, spying equipment, indefinite detention without a trial. They arrest relatives, rape political prisoners, shoot without warning, demolish homes, kill journalists, use minorities against majority, create torture machines, establish their little gitmos, their little detention centers, establish their little gitmos and black sites, and deny justice and peace to their opposition. Their treatment is well documented by almost all the human rights organizations. These oppressors get training, tear gas, and arms from the West to suppress their people. And this is why those fighting for freedom start becoming skeptical of the much-touted Western love for democracy and freedom. They start seeing their governments as a continuation of the same old occupying foreign colonial powers in their land. This is where the mostly peaceful Arab Spring started becoming violent. They responded to the oppressive states in the same vein. This is also where a theology of anger takes birth among the terrible, horrible terrorists of Al-Qaeda and ISIS. They use wrong methods to achieve justice and freedom, and then try to justify their wrongful methodology by distorting the Quran and abusing the prophetic teachings. And this is where the Western media, which claims to be objective, turns around and begins labeling those fighting for freedom as fundamentalists, extremists, terrorists, etc., who are trying to destabilize the region. This is where the impartial Western media began depicting the struggle as a fight between secularists and Islamists, their terminology, in which corrupt secularists are always the good guys of holding everything right. With this information in hand, Islamophobes of the world then spin, weaving a web of deception to cloud the judgment of their own people and everyone else about what is going on. It is nevertheless possible that these journalists who have never lived under occupation or war may not understand the depth and severity of either. This is when even Muslims start seeing these worldwide struggles for freedom, peace, and justice in the Islamic world as turmoil. But this is not turmoil. It's a cry for freedom, which sometimes becomes the struggle of a generation. Okay, I'm going to pause now for another public service announcement, and I invite you, if you would, to share your thoughts with us here on America Muslim 360. This is open mic night here on Narrative Aspirations, and I'm sharing a narrative with you on the state of the Islamic Ummah. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Alhamdulillah, wonderful broadcast preparing to make it in the land of plenty. Shared here on America Muslim 360, Saturday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Praise be to Allah. We've got about 6 minutes of airtime left. I want to share this small portion with you and then refer back to the lines. Okay. Yeah, we're not, yes. Yes. What is called turmoil, it is a cry for freedom, which sometimes becomes the struggle of a generation. The struggle for freedom, democracy, and El-Islam is an honorable struggle. The refugee crisis is created by the governments who deny freedom to their people. The right to self-determination is in the United Nations Charter. Let the Palestinians, the Kashmiris, and the Afghans live the way they want to live. Once this is accepted and respected, turmoil in those places will eventually disappear. Let the Syrians, Egyptians, Bahrainis, and the Yemenis choose their governments, and turmoil will in time lead to stability and security in those countries. The Muslim world was under European occupation for 200 years or so. The European colonialists were then replaced by their lackeys, their stooges, those who looked like the people, but were in their hearts more European than the Europeans. I'm going to stop right now. I'll stop right here, and I'm asking to press one on your mic. We shall share the rest of this time with statements from you. I'm opening up the mic of Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad. Take your phone off of mute, please.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Boy, great help. Well, I thank a lot much for that. Anyway, I really do. But I just wanted to finish what you had said. If the community, the believers in the community of Imam Warji Muhammad will accept his leader, Prophet Muhammad, all of the children that we are losing every day and have been losing in the past, because at one time there was 2.1 million of us, and a great portion of them were adults, newlyweds, and we have plenty of children who we don't even have accountability on what happened to them. We're in a high plane where Shaitan has to really stretch himself to make us miss each other while he kill our children and things off in a way that we don't see. Because we really are has able to even see his world in our education that Allah has given us about believing in the unseen. But we have lost a lot of children because we have not accepted Imam Warji Muhammad's leader like you were saying on the long list of people who you were saying, Egypt and Syria, and yes, and we must be mindful of that. Every day that we don't establish and accept Allah and the two things he has left to us to build this model community on, then we lose our children. We don't lose each other because we're in touch with each other every day, and we thank Allah much for that. To get to call in and be able to talk to you. Your pioneers and different believers are coming on every day to share their thanks to Allah for waking them up. But still, we are losing children every day. And in closing, I had to share with someone the other day ago, I said, we have been building museums all over the United States, but we have not built that many Sister Claire Muhammad High Schools. or Sister Claire Muhammad schools, or a more Islamic schools in our community. And it's something to think about. Just want to say that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Yes, the establishment of an educational system is an indication that these people have a solid foundation and they are building for their future. They are building for their future. Our future is our children. So I've been informed I got 90 seconds of broadcast time left. I'm grateful for you allowing me to share with you this evening on Narrative Aspirations. And alhamdulillah, we have, you know, this publication is called Struggle for Freedom. We have to be willing to struggle. We have to be willing to struggle. Jihad, struggle. If the road had been easy, all would have come. But the road was steep and rocky. So only a few had the courage to begin walking the upright path. And there are many instances in life and in the history of this world where a small band have defeated a much larger, powerful enemy. Just dedicated people, dedicated to what is right for justice and freedom and establishment. So praise be to Allah. I came to you, and I asked you tomorrow to tune in to American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by our beloved brother Henry Hasid. And stay tuned for Money Sense, a program that is hosted by our beloved Imam Adam Biya. And following that broadcast is the broadcast of A New Day for El Islam in America, hosted by our beloved Imam Yusuf Ramadan. We look forward to your presence on American Muslim 360 for these three wonderful broadcasts, very educational. Praise be to Allah. So I came to you this morning with the greetings, pardon me, this evening with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Almighty God, that means peace be unto you and the mercy and blessings of Almighty God. And Almighty God, through the universal message of the Quran, ask the human being from out of the 55th chapter or surah of the Quran, Allah asks a simple question. Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadiban. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? With all that has been said, the human being has been blessed. So I leave you now with the statement that we must be grateful and thankful. And I bring you now the voice of Rahman Hatim, of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful for what Allah has done for us, what Allah is doing for us, and what Allah shall do for us. Allah is in charge at all times.
Early in the morning, seal of prayer, Milton's fresh brewed coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years earlier, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
do the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong.
little helping hand along the way. Try to make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, "Miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright.
You gotta be alright.
You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to Colors and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their sins. But they gotta be alright.
Gotta be right.
They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life, for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be grateful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.